there being no one from the public, I'm actually going to forego reading the instructions on how the public should conduct itself and just go into the meeting. Thank you all for being here. Thank you to the board members for being here. Everybody in the room, during the next 6 weeks, take a couple of seconds here and there and send good thoughts to Dr. Horn. Pleasant experience. I say that from no experience. It's not fun, but it gets over and then you go on and do something else. So, the first item on the agenda is public forum. There is no one from the public who wishes to speak, but we have received a communication from Derek Bays. And I want to make sure that gets acknowledged and made part of the record. That we did receive an email and letter from him. Ms. Kiyumjan, do you have some other information for us about how that's proceeding at all?
Yes, indeed I do. I have communicated with Derek Bays, and we have received his late email as well as his earlier letter, and we are putting it into the record and making it available to the board members so you're aware of it. And I also indicated to him that we would get back to him after having an opportunity to review it. Granted, Bert, who's in the audience, will be working with Derek as well as the police, and we'll probably just sit down with Derek and walk through some maps and answer his questions. That's something that's the way of doing it. So that's what we're planning to do, is to reach out to Derek and then work on this issue and get back to him.
Thank you. Are there any comments from any board members?
Are we going to have staff do a follow-up on claims of petroleum as well? So what's our course of action for this address of Derek's comments?
Well, we have the letter that is in your packet that we sent out to PG&E. We have since received a work plan back from PG&E, which I think in the preliminary stages of reviewing that document. A few more specific questions for Granny, so we can talk to you about it. It's under review now,
so we're still
receive it.
We're
working on it.
That's all right. Yeah. All righty. Item two is a consideration of adoption of the minutes of the meeting from May 11th and 12th, which is called those ones are in your board package. I have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Sandell moves to approve. Mr. Jardine seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
And I have to abstain because I was not there.
I will also abstain. No, we don't have enough members then. We only have three.
So your option is you could delay to the next board meeting, carry these things over to the board meeting, or you choose to vote on
them. I will vote on it in my own confidence of my fellow board members who have appropriately reviewed and minutes in order.
And I will join in. Thank you. Item three is adoption of the uncontested calendar. Consists of matters 5 and 6. The little sheet I have suggests to me that we're going to consider 5 and 6 tonight and 12.
I'll make a motion that we approve the uncontested calendar for items 5 and 6.
Thank you, Mr. Dias. Is there a second?
Thanks for that.
Ms. Cox, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Now we're at item number four, which is consideration of the general waste discharge requirements and NPDES permit for stormwater discharge associated with marine operations. Lake Tahoe Hydrologic Unit, El Dorado, Alaska Counties. There are some
we have the projectors broken.
And then we have our standouts.
Well, in that case, I'm going
to be fine.
Okay, my name is Alan Miller, and I'd like to thank you, Vice Chair Pumphrey, board members, other members in the audience here, for coming tonight for item 4, your revised Lake Tahoe Marina General Permit, your NPDES Industrial Stormwater Permit. And again, my name is Alan Miller. I'm a senior engineer, and I'm the supervisor for your North Basin Regulatory Unit. I am here again to present on item 4, but I'm really just presenting for Toby Tyler, who could not be here tonight and was the primary staff person who really did a substantial amount of work on this reissuance of this permit, and really was the key worker behind the entire effort, which I will be presenting to you, and really performed above and beyond expectations in all respects. So, before I get into the full body of my presentation, I did want to go over the late revisions and the late addition with you. And so, first I would ask you to turn to the late revision here, follow along. And what we've done here is the staff at the conclusion of our public review process, and after some internal deliberation, decided to incorporate a portion of the basin plan that had been missed in the earlier reviews that was amended in 2011 after we had adopted this prior version of this plan. So, the time was right to include the amendment in this permit revision, and the revision has to do with when site conditions don't allow for on-site treatment by infiltrating the water, and the discharge is having difficulty meeting effluent limits in the permit, then they're opened up to an option or an alternative to work with the local municipality or Caltrans to do joint stormwater treatment together. And if they do decide to go that route, then the way that the board interacts with that is through the approval of what's called the pollutant load reduction plan for the Lake Tahoe TMDL that each municipality has to meet, they propose, and how they will meet their limits. And they could include, for instance, a marina facility that discharges stormwater into their municipal stormwater system. So that's the gist of the late revision. In addition, we sent this out to the public for their review, and that was after we thought we had already sent the final out. That is, we had sent a proposed version of this order out, and then we were like, oh, no, here's something. So we got some comments back from one of the dischargers. And his, before I move into that, I just wanted to mention, even with this late revision here, part of the late revision is this enclosure 6, and I'm just going to point that out. Sorry, I missed that before. And that is a very nice letter from the Lake Tahoe Marina Association acknowledging the efforts of the staff, and principally Toby Tyler again in putting this together, but she also had help from junior staff person Liz Van Dyken. So it's always nice to get acknowledgement from the people you're working with about how your efforts have paid off, and we do feel that we were able to resolve all of our issues with them fairly satisfactorily. So again, with this late addition, opening up the option to work with the municipality, one of the dischargers pointed out that that's nice that you're including this, but it doesn't really say who's going to pay for it or how much it's going to cost, like that. And And that's correct, that we're simply opening up what the basin plan has allowed for, and who determines and what the cost might be and who will pay is not part of that requirement. It's really up to the dischargers to work together for that pollute load reduction. So that is how we responded, and so there's a late addition, and you can review that as well. With that, I'm going to move into my presentation. I'm going to talk about some changes that have been... Well, first let me give you the overview of the presentation. I'll talk a little bit about changes that have been made from the prior version, or the current version as it is. And then, again, some of the comments received and what the nature of those were. And then the changes that the staff made in response to the input from the public process. Changes included removal of maintenance dredging, which the permit currently serves two functions. It has a maintenance dredging element of it. It has another element that is just the stormwater from the industrial marina operations. And so this permit is being revised to just cover the industrial stormwater discharge. And that, again, is related to basin plan amendments that in this case were made in 2014 that affected the, some of the implementation requirements, in particular regarding mitigation considerations that really made it more of a one-by-one type of consideration in a permitting context where specific impacts at each marina may need to be considered. And that has to happen in the context of water quality certification in almost every case anyway. So we didn't feel it was a big loss to take it out of the permit and just deal with it in our water quality certification process. And the other thing is that the Army Corps was expected to issue a permit specific to Lake Tahoe that would include things like maintenance dredging and would allow us to authorize projects on a longer term, perhaps up to 5 years. And in fact, the Corps has issued a draft regional general permit for Lake Tahoe activities that would be subject to Section 404 of the Clean Water Act or Section 10 of the Rivers and Harbors Act. So we'll be commenting, working with the Corps on that, and most likely we'll be certifying projects and maintenance dredging under that in the future as well. Another issue that came up during dredging in 2015 was toxic levels of aluminum that were potentially toxic to aquatic life anyway. During the dredging operations at the Tahoe Keys Marina and at the Tahoe Keys Homeowners Lagoon. And taking that maintenance dredging out gave us more time to study this issue, develop necessary control measures, get more information about it. And we have found aluminum, in fact, at other beaches and other places where there could be concerns with stirring that material up, which is how it fits. All back into the water from the septic. The last thing that was kind of driving us to take out maintenance dredging is the Aquatic Invasive Species Control, or AIS as we call it. The controls for that are evolving. We didn't want to fit in a set of fixed requirements that would be better left to evolve in the manner that they are through the partnerships and the working agencies that are cooperatively engaged in this. Other changes that we made involved changes to the monitoring and reporting program, and principally had to do with changes to the sampling programs that we added annual surface water sampling. And this was really a clarification from the current permit, which required development of a plan for surface water monitoring. It just fell a little bit short, and that actually requirement of the plan to be implemented. on an annual basis. So most of the marinas just did the one time sampling around this permit. We want to make that an annual requirement. We also removed diesel from the suite of constituents that has to be sampled if the marina is not selling diesel fuel. And we reduced requirements for sampling when the marina was closed either at night or seasonally during the winter period. And lastly, we added requirements to do annual evaluations for aquatic invasive species, just visual monitoring. And with that, next slide. We had, again, a high degree of public participation with this permit. Just by reminder, there are 12 regulated California side marinas at Lake Tahoe, and there are other interests such as the League to Save Lake Tahoe and the Sierra Club that have had, for instance, litigation in the past over shore zone issues. And so there was owners, operators, the marina staff, and these environmental groups and conservation groups like the Tahoe the conservation group that does the aquatic invasive species control and assists with that. So a lot of different interests represented. And again, this was coordinated by Toby Tyler and her assistant Liz Van Diepen. And we first had our permit issued in early February as a draft tentative requirement. And on February 26th, late in February, we had a meeting with 24 people there, including most of the Marina Association members. And following that meeting, we really kind of went back to the drawing board on a number of issues that they brought up that we had tried to address based on earlier input that we received during the permit term. But there was additional input to be had, but it was really a really productive meeting. There was a lot of really good feedback about how, you know, helpful it was for people to understand the permit, which has some complexity to it, and to understand the basis for the requirements and then what the changes were that were coming. So there was a lot of chance for interaction. There was requests to perhaps make an annual type event, even when the permit was being, you know, reconsidered and that kind of thing. So we did go back to the drawing board, and we ended up coming back with another version of the permit in early May, and had another meeting with the interested parties after they had a chance to review it. We did meet with a much smaller group, the Marina Association members, after that to discuss their changes and other input, but that was a very productive and helpful meeting as well. And basically, we came to concurrence on the issues that were outstanding at that time. We'll just talk a little bit about some of those. Talk about some of those comments and how we handled those, and those were both written comments that we received on the tentative permit, and then oral comments that we received during the April workshop, and then those were followed up with that nice letter I pointed out to you. So the responses are in your package, and all their detail. We met following the redraft before you saw it, and made a few additional changes based on that meeting. The current permit requires two sampling events for stormwater each year, and there was at the earlier stage a proposal to increase that to four to be consistent with the statewide general industrial permit that was adopted, I think, about a year and a half ago. And so we decided that under the circumstances here, we didn't need to include increasing that requirement, and that was what the dischargers were requesting, was just to keep the requirement the same. And so we did that, and then we also delayed the permit effective date to November 1 so that it would coincide better with their monitoring period, which is more of a voting season type of thing, and allowed them to reapply for the permit later so that they're not doing it at the height of their voting season as we earlier proposed. And we also clarified certain requirements for run-on, added some definitions, and basically just a few minor clarifications. And that was all before we did the labor. The result of all that, though, was the Marina Association members that we met that provided verbal concurrence with the proposed order and the letter that I mentioned did not receive any adverse comments. With that, I would ask that you adopt the order with the late revisions as proposed. And with that, I'm here to answer any questions that you might have.
Are there any questions from board members? Ms. Cox?
I have one, Ellen, in the labor revision that was submitted, it allows for options if the runoff volume generated by if there's an inability to infiltrate, if the runoff volume generated by a 20-year storm or 1-hour storm. Is this triggered after that event occurs, or who determines that the site can't meet that condition and then they need to be included with the city? How do the mechanics of that work?
Well, it's a new program, so I can't be certain. However, my understanding as a regulator is that most likely this would come into play if there was some difficulty that the marina operator was having in meeting the limitations that are imposed otherwise if they're not under this option. So if they're not meeting their limits based on sampling, for instance, they would be violating their permit, and then they might be looking for some other way to comply because of the site limitations. And so then at that point they would need to approach the municipality and say, can we work together? There might be a situation also where there's run-on coming on to the marina property, say from the highway or from municipality, and so there might be other incentives to work together. We saw this in a really big way, for instance, at the BG project here in South Lake Tahoe, where it was private property teamed up with the highway department, teamed up with municipal government, all providing stormwater treatment off-site. So that's the kind of thing that can be opened up under this option. We think there's going to be a need to work out the program in more detail, and this just allows that to happen if there's a need.
Well, I like that flexibility. I was just adding that we have committed to get to back together with the marina operators. I'm not sure if this fall or when we're going to get down there and kind of see how this works, see if we need to fine tune anything when we learn from this. So we are going to be getting back on some of these issues.
Any other questions or comments? I'll make a motion that we approve the general waste discharge requirements for the stormwater discharge associated with marine operations in Lake Tahoe, Hydrologic, Boone, El Dorado, and Tuscarora.
I'll second that.
Is that
with
the Lake Bridges? With the Lake Bridges. I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. That's all right. any comments by board members before we vote? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you all. It is indeed very nice to get a letter. Congratulations.
Thank you all. Pass them on. Thank you.
Items 5 and 6 have been dealt with previously. Item 7 is report from board members. I'll start with my question. Mr. Dias, anyone to report?
Nothing to report, thank you.
Ms. Fox?
No report.
Mr. Jardini?
Nothing.
Mr. Sandell?
Nor I.
I have nothing personally, and I did get an email from Dr. Ford, just indicating the dates of WQCC, which are October 24 and 25, and that most of the chair's call this month apparently was taken up in discussion of how things are faring, budget proposal, testify this morning, and you can talk about that in the next item on the agenda, which is item 8.
Well, good evening, Vice Chair Comfrey and board members. First off, I'd like to really thank the gracious hosts today from the Moonlight Committee for giving us that great tour. I think we all learned a lot, and it was really, at least for me, to actually see the different levels of life where it used to be was kind of an enlightening way of looking at that life. So, thank you for attending, and to Jeff Gilkin, who's cutting, and Sarche, so for your assistance. I'd like to point out to the board that you have a pink sheet in your packet to the EO report that includes two items. One is a summary of the PG&E waste pit investigation that Brianna St. Pierre wrote. And that is related to the public forum item number one and the other one, so that's just an addition. The second item is the addition of a chart on monthly enforcement actions. As you recall, when we previously done a presentation to the board, and the board ultimately adopted a resolution for a delegation of authority, I had wanted to work on how do I communicate better to the board on some of the actions I take. So on enforcement, you get a quarterly report. It tells you what we're working on presently. It also tells you what is in the works, but not public yet. So I'm going to start something new, which is just a monthly report. And so this will tell you basically what items are out on the street in some form or shape. Either common, rebuttals, so you can see where things are. I also routinely sign letters on behalf of the board that you don't see. For example, the SEP for Victor Valley Wastewater Authority was to provide money from the Mojave Water Agency to a salt nutrient management fund, which has been completed. So part of what I do is I write the final letter saying, you're done, it's all good. But you don't see those letters sometimes. So that's what that will be, and you'll get it monthly in the EO reports. Another document I'm working on when we hire a new EA, that's in Sue Left, because Sue started working on this, and that will be any major letters I sign or permits. So you'll get a monthly summary of those as well. So that's coming. I just want to say one thing, following up on Mr. Humphrey's comments about the WQCC meetings on October 24th and 25th. You know, I encourage you all to consider attending that. I think it's going to be different than previous WQCC meetings. rather than a lot of information, which still is valuable in terms of the state board giving the board members information. Instead, they're really letting them know where the regional board chairs organize this WQCC, where they're allowing them to do breakout sessions on what they see are some important issues. And some of you can receive that draft agenda, and it's still being formulated, and again, they're looking for ideas. But it's really allowed the regional boards to break apart and meet with each other, share ideas, share solutions. So I think this would be actually very interesting and helpful meeting this October. So if it's in your schedule, I encourage you to go. I'm now going to move into my year report and update you on some information that I provided you previously in the written report. One is our Victorville office move. As you recall, they were going to move mid-July because of some change in terms of ordering cubicles and other little details. We're going to push it back about 2 weeks till the end of July. So they'll be moving at the end of July. Another update I want to give you, there was a written report by the Bridgeport Ranchers. This is on Bay Stamp 8-8. I'm actually very excited about this. I've been having some discussions with Mark Lacey, who's a rancher in the Bridgeport Valley and part of the GRO, or the organization down there. And we have been having a lot of what-if discussions. We have a waiver for the Bridgeport Valley and the ranchers. We had a 5-year waiver, and now we renewed it, and now we're in year 9 of the waiver, and we have to renew it again next year. So now's the time to kind of have that discussion about what's working and what's not working. From our end, it's not exactly working because we're not seeing the water quality improvements we hope to see. From their end, it's not working either because they feel it's ranch by ranch. Some ranchers are stepping up and putting BMDs, others are not. And at the end of the day, they feel really unable to meet the water quality standards. So, the what-ifs we've been discussing and this meeting led to is, couldn't we look at it from more holistic watershed basis, not just the tributaries and the runs through the ranching lands, but also the Bridgeport Reservoir, which is in the near water body as well. And can we take a more holistic look at that to see if we can work together? So we had our initial meeting on May 17th, and a lot of our non-point staff joined in, that would be Doug Smith and Doug Cushman and Dr. Bruce Gordon. And Dr. Ken Tate from UC Davis also attended. We really had a good turnout of the ranchers. And we really just kind of brainstormed and threw ideas around about what could we do. And it was, I think, a very enlightening as well as invigorating discussion that we had. And they were very much open to the ideas we were of proceeding to explore this further. And so what we committed to was to have at least 3 more meetings this year to talk about what is possible, invite the Division of Financial Assistance to one of these meetings, because there's a lot of financial needs that they could use for this, and see where this goes. And our intent is to give an update to the board in November on where we are in this process. It is possible we won't have a perfect solution by the time the waiver expires next spring. It is possible we'll have to do a bridging, if you will, like extend the existing waiver for a period of time while we work on something better in the meantime. So, I'm very excited about this approach that we're working together with both the university as well as the ranchers and exploring an option that may benefit not just the ranchers, but the Bridgeport Reservoir as well. I was also meeting Pete Cunning, joining with Kate Ogden the next day of the Eastern Sierra Land Trust, because they have a piece, they're a part of this puzzle as well in terms of applying for money for the wetlands, or their solution that they hope to see is, can they run some water through a wetlands area to help clean it before it goes to a critical reservoir? So all, I think, exciting things to explore. The Barstow Perchlorate, which is a written report on May 10th, 8-6. I want to also mention, in addition to that, summary. In April, I applied to the state board for $2.6 million in site cleanup funds to see if we could begin the cleanup of that this parcel before the queen. You know, it'll take some time, so this is typically the little handle of resource protection, as if you recall, protection on residential property we're talking about, with a couple of neighbors around. On the previous meetings that we had with the community that used to receive write-ups, the community really didn't want a community water system. They didn't want to look at the Golden State water. They really wanted the independent private wells. They were concerned about the fees that might be charged them, and they just liked their independence of having their own wells. They preferred us to proceed with cleaning up the clue, which is why we moved forward with this proposal. It's with the state board now. A little bird has told me we have pretty good odds of getting that approved. So I'm not really overly excited yet, but I think we have decent odds of receiving that funding, so that's exciting. I mentioned the amount of $2.6 million. That's a lot of money, but that's not all. For us to really move to the next phase of getting cleaned up, we're talking about an additional $7 to $8 million down the road to clean up the ones in the wall. I'm going to give you a sense of the magnitude of what that costs. But it's probably for our staff. We work very closely with the Division of Drinking Water on this, and I think it's another cause of step. And staff have been working very hard on this in the process. They feel very passionate about helping the community together. Another update now, since we're in the southern part of our region, on George Air Force Base, and that's in your package 8-13. And I just want to follow up with the previous board meeting I had mentioned that we were going to go out and test the school, as you recall, Carolina School for pesticides, and get asked the military to do it first. They had indicated that they were no longer the lander, but the school was, so the school stepped up and they tested for pesticides. And good news, we only found trace concentrations of a few organo. Pouring pesticides and no DLG, which is what we were looking for, because there's DLG in the groundwater there. So that's good news for the kids that attend that school. We are working with toxics going forward, because toxics is actually the lead agency in any and all school cleanups in the state of California. And we're collaborating with them since they really are the lead on the public health questions that come up with this. And so they will continue to work with the school district going forward, and so it's a joint effort. Just so you know, toxics is the lead on school cleanups, but unfortunately, they don't have the same kind of enforcement tools or regulatory tools that we have. So we work together. We're the one who wrote the letter asking for the sampling, and then we hand it over to them. They didn't have the ability to write such a letter. So this is where you have two agencies working together to get the best outcome. I'm now going to move to another entirely different subject now, and that's on-site septic tanks. This month, you were supposed to receive a standing report on on-site septic tanks, but we're moving that to the fall till September. And the reason we're doing that is because we really wanted to put more time in the workshop to the entire issue in September, because it really is a big issue to discuss. We're also going to give the board an overview. Staff have informally been calling it the state of the sewer. We'll find a better name for it. But to really give a sense of, you know, where are all our sewage POTWs, where are our nitrate problems, and then it'll give you a sense, you know, being a region is the magnitude, where are all the septic tanks then? You know, region, how are we going to deal with stuff? So we really want to give you a broad overview. As you recall, when we came to you about core regulatory, we have not have enough staff to do the work we do. So this is going to be one of our first presentations where we sort of set the stage and have a discussion about core regulatory. And you can only do that until you know the magnitude of the size of the problem in our region for us to have dialogue then about what to do about that. You'll then also get a more detailed presentation about the lands. But let me give you a very quick overview so you know where we are in the process. We have received many plans already. We've received them from San Marino County, and we're about to send them some comments back soon on theirs. And again, a reminder of lamps. The regional boards were assigned counties. For certain counties that straddle multiple regional boards, certain ones were picked. For San Bernardino County, we were picked as lead, but we were closer to Region 7 and Region 8. So we, when I talk about comments back, it's really three regional boards sending comments back to the county of San Bernardino. And we haven't written them yet, we're working on it, but I just want to know we've received them. We also have received drafts from Hesperia, Apple Valley, Inyo County, Emoto County, again, drafts, and we're reviewing them. We still need to call some folks to get them to submit lamps, and that would be Atalanta, Barstow, California City, and Victorville. And we need to work with Regions 4 and 5, because as I mentioned, their leads on Los Angeles County and Kern County. This is where they're the lead, and we have to work with them. So that's just a really brief sense of where we are on lamps. You'll get a much more in-depth presentation in September. Now let me give you some updates that are not in my year report that are new. One is something that I discussed at the May meeting, and that's the copper sulfate treatment in Alabama Gates from LADWP. At our board meeting, as you recall, in May, I brought to the board that LADWP had to request an emergency approval for use of application copper sulfate to deal with algal growth at the aqueduct from Alabama Gates, if you recall. And this was just for them to comply with local AQMD's dust mitigation requirements. The algae was fouling or plugging other people, their equipment, and they needed to get the water out onto the lake for dust mitigation. So the board gave me some guidance, which I included actually in letter 2 at LADWP, which I sent to the board members from your guidance. I asked them additional information, and I did this report. So they, after the board meeting, the next day, they made the application. They found no fish kills, no mammal kills. Everything went smoothly. We're going to get a final report back soon from them about everything. But at least want to let you know that since last board meeting, everything went smoothly from the application. I will be meeting with LADWP on Friday, and people join me about how to do better in the future to follow the rules that we have set up. So we will, and they've committed that they're going to do better instead of spraying when you do an emergency request on us. So the other meeting I wanted to update you in was on Bishop Creek. After I met with the ranchers, I continued on with the non-point source team on Bishop Creek. Again, we met with LADWP, the Paiute tribe, the county, and we shared our data. This is now year 4 where we've been monitoring Bishop Creek and 4 solid years of problems. I really was pushing the dialogue instead of another year of monitoring that LADWP had hoped to do to move to action. This community has had pollution for enough years, it's time to move to action. Our data shows pretty overwhelming that it's livestock that's causing the problem. There is some slight hits from human, from the home stamp, and a little bit of beaver, but that's naturally occurring and the numbers aren't all that high. That I really encourage them to, we need to move to do something about it. So in that meeting, we talked about a number of things that we were going to ask them. I have a draft letter before me. When I get back to the top of the consideration of staff to ask them a longer list of questions about, you know, what BMPs are we using? How often do you inspect? What are you monitoring? What can you do to deal with this problem? Let's do some monitoring after you've been in the BMPs to see if it's working. So they'll get a whole longer list of questions. This is consistent with our enforcement policy. One path would be to send them a 13267 order, which could come with penalties. Or I could send them a rather stern letter, start progressive enforcement, to ask them to to give us the information to help us move forward in a collaborative way. Their preference is that, and actually, if you recall Scott Ferguson's presentation, this progressive force in protecting has been working. That sending out people a stern letter actually works. So that's what we'll be doing with this program. The last one I want to update you on is the budget, which we moved into. And I'll say the part that affects you the most, the last. We did well this year. We received $400,000 more for Lake Tahoe year short grant, which brings us to $550,000 this year. We'll drop back down to $500,000 next year, and that will be sort of a solid number for a while. So that's good, because we'll be working with scientists and others, and we're coordinating with a lot of the locals in Lake Tahoe base, you know, to kind of design the structure. We always knew that after we learn more about what's the problem, we're going to have to move to let's do something about it. So we are starting to have discussions internally in our work plans about what is it we can do with a little bit of information we have to deal with it. So we're at the beginning of that dialogue. We also got free PYs for a swamp program. This was a no cost, and as you recall, but we had contractors under swamp a certain amount of money, and the state as a whole has been looking at all contracts and asking the question, can this work be done by civil service employee, or should it be done by an outside contractor? Decision was made to end these contracts and instead hire civil service employees, which does help with the capacity of the organization as a whole, so it is a good thing. So we have three PYs for you. We also asked for 1.9 PYs for our Leviathan unit. I know that's an odd number, but that's all we need. To help us implement the settlement agreement. So we received that. We'll probably hire analysts that was called contract and another opinion to devote the rest of the 92 tenants. You know, the budget has not been passed yet, so you know these are ones that have made it through the process and look like they are pretty clean and are going to make it to the finish line without any problems. I think there's like 99% odds these things are perfectly fine, but you can never say never with the budget process. That will be mid-July, but by then we're already starting the process of paperwork to maybe hire people. We can release the paperwork behind the scenes, so that when the budget's done, we can go forward and hire. So I'm very excited about these things. We are looking at our staff internally about reshuffling and dealing with poor regulatory and, you know, still exploring ideas with our work plans. That's sort of what we're doing in the midst right now with our staff. Let me get to the board members. Senate and Assembly came to concurrence on the $250 per day pay information up from 100. Included in that is the day of preparatory work as well. So for a 2-day work, it could be up to 3 days that you could receive $250. There's a trailer bill that still needs to be written to go along with it, because they actually have to change the statute. It's $100 now. And they're going to pull the money in a fund. It used to be a lot per region, and some regions didn't spend their cap. Other ones went over their cap. So by having it all in one fund, it gives more flexibility for those regions that may need to hold more needs than others. So it's a great thing. So upon enactment of the budget, this will become effective. So probably for September 14th.
Sorry.
Are there any questions you need? Any information on the shop board?
Scott?
Having a big stamp with that 11 instead of Barstow for 4. Maybe you said it and I just didn't get it, but how much is our ask for that cleanup?
$2.6 million for the first phase. Another $7 to $8 million down the road to really deal with them. What we're trying to do is focus on the source before the highest numbers are in control of that before we move to the next phase of the, you know, pulling back and dealing with that, because until we get the source control handled, it's hard to move into the other places.
And when will we hear if we will receive that grant?
I'm not sure. In an action of the state board yesterday, they delegated to the Division of Financial Assistance, Darren Martinez, the ability to approve a number of these. I'm not sure if they gave him a cap, but I've heard happy noises from the state board about our proposal and how they like it. It doesn't hurt that Tim Post, who used to work with us and work on the side, is heading up the unit that gets to the side who gets the money. Is a definitely benefit to our end. I wish I had an answer for you, Kimberly. I'm hoping soon. We certainly are, you know, other than all the time.
I've had calls from a couple of their very compassionate residents out there. You're right. They don't want to be forced to hook up to a water system. They want to continue their lifestyle. They want this to go away.
So we're trying to do exactly that.
Powerful Water and the Mojave Water Agency is having a meeting with this community group on, I believe it's June 23rd. And if we have any information you can pass on that they can share at that meeting, I know the residents are anxious to hear about that grant because to them this is going to provide some real solutions.
I agree, and I'm as excited as anyone to get the money. I definitely want to tell the whole world that we received this money, because it's very exciting. I mean, the board has heard this Larson, you know, we've been knowing this Larson proposal for years, over 10 years, isn't it? Something like that? Is that good? Any other questions?
Yes, Patty, did I hear you say that with regard to on-site wastewater treatment systems and LAMP, that the counties of Kern and Los Angeles have taken the lead in the revenue for the project?
No, the other two regions are the lead.
Oh.
Regions 4 and Regions 5 are in the lead for, obviously, for Los Angeles County and Region 5 of Kern. And we will then coordinate with those regions on our commons because it straddles in only one region. The same way that we are lead, we were chosen to be lead in San Bernardino County, but we work with regions 7 and 8.
Because the city of California City is within Kern County, how is it affected?
Local governments and cities can on their own apply for a program, and many of them are choosing to do so.
Okay.
So that's why there's
okay, thank you.
You saw some cities listed that I mentioned. Some cities, some want to be part of the county's efforts. Some want to do something on their own.
Okay.
And there's flexibility